Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager with Fireside Chat number 323. That's Snoopy behind me. With the new seating, I don't get a chance to pet the dog, but I assure you, I do frequent petting of my dogs. They are very loved. I might add that my home, I believe at this point, owns more dog beds than human beds. My wife makes sure that no matter where they go, they should never be further than 20 feet away from a proper resting place. Hi, everybody. Fireside Chat. And 2 weeks ago with my son, Aaron, on the Fireside Chat that I had him as my guest, he mentioned dink. I had no idea what a dink was. By the way, tangential comment number one of the many that I make in the course of any given podcast or whatever we call this. So when he said dink, I said, what's a dink? It's a very important lesson in that. If you don't know something, don't be embarrassed to say you don't know. And I learned this as I did so much wisdom in my elementary school at a religious Jewish school, where half the day was religious subjects, half the day was secular subjects. It was very intense. And one of the sayings, I learned a lot of sayings, every one of which has shaped my life. Boy, that'd be a great broadcast, sayings that shaped my life. Mm. Let's think about that. So one of them is, it is from the second holiest work in Judaism after the Bible, the Talmud. And it's a statement that really got to me. It was, and I learned it in Hebrew, Lo habayshan lomed. The easily embarrassed doesn't learn. Isn't that a great phrase? Do you know how, I'll give you an example of how it really shaped me, because I fell in love with languages in high school when I already started Hebrew very early, so that was not a challenge. But I did take French in high school, and then I took Russian and Arabic in college. And I had traveled to many countries, as is known to many of you. And when I have started speaking their language, I would frequently say, what is that word you said? I was never embarrassed to ask, what does that mean? And it helped me learn tremendously. Similarly, I wasn't embarrassed to make mistakes. Not just was I not embarrassed to ask, what does that mean? I wasn't embarrassed to make mistakes. And I made some real hilarious mistakes. In Hebrew, the word for, this was my first trip to Israel, I was 18, and I wanted to know where are the services to Jerusalem. I was in Tel Aviv. And so the word for the service, the car service, is Sheirut, which is service. So I just walked around asking people, where are, and I use the plural, where are the services to Jerusalem? And they all started laughing. I'm thinking, what did I get wrong? And then I, which I had no idea, bathroom is services in the plural. So I was walking around asking people in Hebrew, where are the bathrooms to Jerusalem? Which sounds a little bizarre when you think about it. But I thought it was hilarious. I wasn't embarrassed, thanks to the easily embarrassed don't learn. Anyway, so I asked my son, long way of getting back, but I usually remember where I was. What is a dink? So it's double income, no kids. D-I-N-K. And Megan showed me some videos on, was it TikTok or was it NBC?
Well, both.
Both. TikTok and
it's
NBC.
It's trending on TikTok.
It's trending on TikTok, dink. Because the with it, the cool, as we might have said a long time ago, they're in big in favor of dink. No kids. A lot of people are not even in favor of getting married. You know, single income, no husband, no wife, no kids. So I have talked about this to you many times, and I want to get into it from a different, slightly different direction than perhaps one I did. Although I may have mentioned this, but you know, this is so critical. It's really worth repeating. The whole issue of getting married and having children. So I was watching one of these videos. This was the NBC one, and it was extolling the virtues of a couple who decided not to have children, and they spoke about how much more money they have and how much more freedom they have, which is both of which are true. They're not deniable. I'll tell you, though, what people who opt not to marry, or, and I'm talking about opt, not the people who just can't find somebody, opt not to marry and opt not to have children, what they're missing. We know the advantages. I ask always that people be truthful, that people be intellectually honest. I recognize there are advantages to not having children. They are entirely right. You will probably have more money. Probably, not definitely, but probably. That is true. You will have more time to go to the restaurant of your choice. You will have more time to travel. And of course, you'll have more money with which to travel. I acknowledge all of that. And I never want to romanticize, because to romanticize means not to tell the truth. I don't want to romanticize that having a child is daily joy. There is no such thing as daily joy from a child, at least not after they turn two. I wanted to make that clear, because Megan, how old is Riley?
A year and a half.
A year and a half, exactly. Because I had a feeling Megan's thinking, I have daily joy for Riley. But it doesn't happen. Ask your parents. There's no such thing as daily joy from your child. And it shouldn't be so. What is there daily joy from your work? For all the people who are big on profession and career, who has daily joy from their work? Every single day of your life, you wake up and go, wow, another day to go to work. This is infinitely preferable to having a day off. Believe me, I truly love my work. To be paid as I am, to say what I think to millions of people, whether it's the podcasting or whether it is my radio show, and to be able to have done this for 40 years, I am one of the luckiest people alive. But I don't delude myself that every single day I'm dying to go to work. You know how I know? On the rare days I'm off, I think, wow, this is a relaxing day. I can get into this. So I'm not going to romanticize that having a child is constant joy. What I do want to make is two other arguments with regard to children. And I have a lot of arguments that I can make, but I want to make two. One is, those who make these arguments about more time, more freedom, more money, except for the money part, because the money part, they say, at least in this little video on NBC, they're saving for the future, which is good. They should. But by and large, it's living for now. You're making a very big mistake if when you're 30, you don't think about what life will be when you're 80. It's a very big mistake. I know it sounds so unreal, like I'll be 80, like I'll visit the moon, or I'll worry about it when I'm 80. This is completely understandable. But I don't only mean 80. I mean, let's say you come to the end of your life at 70 or at 60. If you talk to people who have had children, unless it's been a horrific experience, which happens, they have something that you will never have. I mean, you know, if you can't have children, I'm not talking to those of you who can't have children for whatever reason. I'm talking to those of you who choose not to have children. it's very, very unwise not to think about how will I look back on my life when I'm older. I was blessed. I thought these thoughts at a very early age. I knew I wasn't going to be 18 forever. You're not going to be any age forever. But you are going to be old or dead one day. And when people call me up and they didn't get married or they didn't have children and they're older, they call my radio show, they wish they had heard these things when they were younger. Do you know that I have literally 1,000 columns on the internet because I've written one almost every week for 20 years. In one case out of 1,000, it was not my words. I transcribed a call. A woman in her 50s called my show on my male-female hour. Each week I have a male-female hour. And she called up and basically she said, you could undoubtedly find this on the internet. And she said basically as follows, Dennis, I followed the career path that I was told would bring me great happiness. I got a PhD from an elite university. I have a well into six figures income. And I go home and there's nobody there. And I see friends who have a husband and children, and I think I made a big mistake. You don't know now when you're 30, certainly not 25. You don't know what you'll think at 50, 60, 70, 80. And given human life expectancy, well into 90s, maybe hundreds by the time you reach that age. But you should know what you'll think. What do I have to show for it? And is the answer a lot of terrific dinners at restaurants? A lot of great travel? Those are all lovely. I'm into both. But when you saw my fireside chat with my child, with whom there was a very difficult period, that's what part of it was about. He was born to a meth addict, had a deep impact on him physiologically, and perhaps psychologically, I don't know. And he battled drugs and alcohol till the age of 23. He's now sober 7 years. But the richness of being a father, forgetting the issues that I went through with my son Aaron. I didn't go through such issues with my son David. The richness of being a father, you think I would trade that in for more free time or for more money? And that brings me to my other argument, depth. I was talking to my producer, Alan Estrin, exactly about that subject. And I was talking to Julie, with whom I do my Dennis and Julie podcast. And Julie would love to get married, and I'm searching for her. She's only 24, but she's wise to know it's a good thing. So she met a couple of guys, friends of a girlfriend of hers. She has a boyfriend, and she met some of the guys, and I asked her, so how did it go? Did you meet any possible dating material? And she said, no. And I said, why? How do you know? She said, I want a guy with depth. I want a deep guy. Now, that word is never used. Never. I bet on all the dating apps. I bet there are 50 adjectives. Fun, exciting, smart, charming, I don't know, a million adjectives, but I'll bet you that not one says deep. it's a term that isn't even used, but that's the greatest thing. And not only is it great, it is rare. There are far more nice and good people than there are deep people. Depth is very, very rare. And some things in life give you more depth. Clearly, reading great books can help you get depth, for example. But parenthood and marriage are two things that almost automatically give you some depth. When I meet people that I knew when they were single, and now they're married with a child, or of course with more than one child, it is so obvious to me that they have, you could say matured, another word nobody uses anymore, but they are on their way to a deeper life. And once you taste depth, you can't go back. And I know that being a father was a very deep and is a deep experience. You can't have that as a dink. Nobody's making videos for NBC on depth. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
That's too bad. All right, so some thoughts on dinks. Now we go to your questions. Take it away.
Hi, Dennis. I'm Lionel. I'm from India, currently studying in New York. I've always loved America, but you've made me admire this nation and the founding fathers even more deeply. I feel proud and grateful for being a member of the human race, especially because of the creation of the United States. I wish to contribute something meaningful to this world through my books like you did. If you had to do this again now, what would have you done differently? Thank you.
Well, that was very sweet, and you're a good man. You know, just to comment on your love of this country, it's really almost unbelievable how a generation has been raised to have contempt for America. Colonialist state, massive inequity, discriminatory, persecuting the minorities. And here's a guy from India saying, God, he knows how lucky he is to be here. Well, anyway, you'd like to affect the world through writing books. You should. And then all of a sudden you ask, what would I do differently? I was sure you wanted to ask me something about you. I can't think of anything I would do differently. Not that I did everything right, but I can't think of anything that I would have changed, to be honest. Even the painful stuff has contributed massively to my life. I'm very lucky that I could say that. But I want to talk to you about writing. I have an original thought. I call it Dennis's three mirrors theory. We have three mirrors in life. One is the mirror of our physical body and face. That's the obvious mirror. Then there is the mirror of our mind. We know how you can see your body and your face. How can you see your mind? And the answer is by writing. That's why if you don't write clearly, I'm talking about your thoughts, if you don't write your thoughts on whatever subject it is clearly, the odds are you don't think clearly. Writing is the mirror of the mind. Everybody should write, even if it's not for publication. My third mirror is the mirror of your character. How do you know your character? Generally speaking, the mirror of your character is the people you bring into your life. If overwhelmingly you bring good people into your life, that's probably a sign that you have good character. Okay, next. Josip T., 25, in Croatia. Dennis, what do you think of mindfulness meditation? Do you regard it as a useful practice? Have you ever tried it? Let me begin with the last one. No. I haven't tried it. And my only reaction, I don't know what the difference between mindfulness meditation and regular meditation is, so I can't comment on this. There are many vehicles to inner peace. And if meditation works for you, that's great. There's a saying in English, different strokes for different folks. It's, what is it in French? Chaque à son goût. Everyone to his own taste, but I think I'm missing a verb. But anyway, everybody to his own taste. Every language must have this saying. My method may not, it may be the best for me. It may not be the best for you. There's one truth. There's one good and evil, but there isn't only one method at arriving at a, if you will, a deeper life. And certainly I assume that meditation gives people inner peace, and I'm a big believer in inner peace. For me, there are many things that bring me inner peace, many, many, many things. Since you raised meditation, I'll comment to you about religiosity. My Sabbath brings me inner peace. The weekly day that I leave the world, as it were, and just spend it with people who are important to me. And in my case, the study of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, which I've written my commentary on, the Rational Bible. And that does give me inner peace. My meditation is the study of the Torah. That is my vehicle to God and to inner peace. But if meditation works for you, more power to you. Now, Fernando is 46 from Ray. We don't know where Ray is, right? We just know R-A-Y. Okay. Hi, Dennis. You are frequently asked, out of the 131 countries you have visited, which is your favorite? I was wondering, out of the 64 countries you have not visited, which one or three are you hoping to visit at some point? The more, the merrier. I am not picky, but I am going to a new one, which is harder and harder, in the spring. I'm going to Greenland. That is rare. How's that? I'm going to Iceland as well. This is one of my listener cruises that I've been doing with listeners to my radio show for 25 years. And we're going to be going from England to Scotland and up to the top of the British Isles and over to Iceland and then in a beautiful ship, which is really rare, to Greenland, which is exotic. So I'm happy to go anywhere that I haven't been. Lavinius in Belgium. What is this? Our international today? Day? Hi, Dennis. All right. This is a long one, but I think I'll read the whole thing anyway. Thank you for all the work that you do and your team do for the wisdom that you impart. Thank you. My wife likes to take one day per week to rest, i.e. a Sabbath. However, when I try to rest with her, I feel like my life is wasting away while I am doing nothing. I find resting useful and pleasant, but not for a whole day, not for one full day. This causes some problems between me and my wife. She feels bad when I work around the house while she rests because she does not help me. And I would like her to help me more during her Sabbath. I know she needs her Sabbath to recover from work, and it's lack affects her negatively. Do you have any advice to help us to minimize the problems? Maybe to help me rest and to not feel that my life passes by. God bless you. That's a fascinating question. Well, let me first deal with the marital issue. So you two have to just make peace with that is her meaningful day of rest. I don't have it the same as she does, but I am not going to bug her, and she shouldn't bug me. We should just each honor the other's unique way because we all have a unique way of life, of living, and that's what you do. I go to synagogue every Saturday. My wife does not. She wants that one day truly to rest, to read, to have her coffee, and then she joins me and our friends for Shabbat lunch. That's fine. I don't bug her to go to synagogue. I bug Nathan, but I don't bug my wife. Is that true or is it not true? Exactly, yes. So it's a very important thing in marital life. Unless something is really vital, you're allowed to have your different modes of expression. Just, I never quite put it this way, but one good piece of marital advice is don't bug him. Don't bug her. Is that fair?
Yeah.
It's just, you're not clones. Now, by the way, there are arenas where I would be troubled. I want to make that clear. There are arenas where a true difference would matter to me. I mean, if we had different values, that I have to say, that would trouble me. That's a tough one with regard to a marriage. But but otherwise, I mean, you have to know in marriage when to make a big deal and when not to. Very often, it's not worth it. And sometimes, obviously, there's no way around it. You have to confront something. All right, so that's the marital part. It's funny that you should say you regard the Sabbath as doing nothing, which makes perfect sense. I understand that. That's why, by the way, I'm interrupting my own thought. I don't work on the Sabbath, but I don't do nothing. I spend it with because my kids are in very far away. If I'm not with them, I'm spending it with my close, dear friends on Friday night for Shabbat dinner Friday night and Saturday afternoon for Shabbat lunch. And these are highlights in my week. I'm not doing nothing. So you have to figure out how to fill that time with meaningful things that are not necessarily associated with work. That's the point. I could see why it seems to you like nothing is happening. So try to fill it with meaningful things that are also not related necessarily to work. Okay. Luminita, 37, Bucharest, Romania. Hi, Mr. Prager. I know you visited many countries whose values you don't share or are led by a man whom I assume you don't support, like Putin, Erdogan, etc. I have avoided visiting countries like Turkey, Russia, Egypt because of those reasons. But I am wondering if I am making a mistake. How do you cope with this moral dilemma? And what advice do you have for someone like me with this dilemma? Thank you very much. God bless. Great question, and I have a great answer. Visit. I knew this in my 20s when I went to communist countries year after year. I wanted to understand evil, and communism is evil if evil exists. The number of people slaughtered by communism dwarfs anything else. Just and enslaved and tortured. How can you understand what you don't like or morally object to if you've never seen it in practice? This will enrich you. I would like all the people who are anti-Israel to visit Israel. It'll be a real shock to see what a decent society it is. You can't only visit the places you think are wonderful. So this is a very important question, and I salute you for asking it. Visit. Okay, great to be with you. Dennis Prager here with Snoopy still here. Mm-hmm. See you next week.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.